Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast for Monday, June 28, 2021. I'm Jay Gragnani, and here joining me this week is Ian Saunders. Ian, great to have you on. It's hard to believe that it's the end of June.
I know. Harder. These first 6 months have certainly flown by.
That it has, and after a relatively mild summer here, at least so far in Richmond, today was the first day that the intense sun hit me, smacked me right in the face this morning as we walked out the door. But nonetheless, here we are at the end of June, which means the first half of the year is nearly in the books. If you're listening to this prior to June 30th, it's almost in the books. If you're listening to it afterwards, hopefully you're taking some time for a long 4th of July holiday weekend coming up. Nonetheless, as we sit here almost halfway through the year, it's always a time that we sit back and reflect on how this year has played out. And especially in light of everything that we've seen in the markets over the past 18 months, how this year has played out and looked very, very different than last year. I mean, last year, by all accounts, looked very, very different to pretty much any other year that is out there that we've been able to study, given the effects and impacts of the pandemic last year with the market sell-off and then subsequent sharp recovery. And that recovery has seemingly played out into 2021 as we've continued to see the market indexes, the major averages, continue to push to new all-time highs. And so far has done so this year with a relatively low or small amount of volatility in the market. And there's any number of ways that we can look and define what volatility means. It could be just the number of days that the market moves up or down a percent. One of the more popular measures of volatility is the VIX, which is just a measure of market volatility, has fallen to its lowest level here recently at around 1450, which is the lowest level that index has seen since the pre-pandemic market highs from February of 2020. And really, this year, just to put that into perspective for a little bit, a reading of 14, when you look at the VIX, if you were to look at it back in March, right in the midst of the sell-off and the correction, the VIX had spiked all the way up to 85, and very subsequently collapsed back into, very quickly got back around the 30 or 40 area, which on the average reading is somewhere in the low 20s for the VIX. So put that into perspective. Right now at 14, it's a low level, not historically low level. It got actually lower back even in the fall of 2019. It was down around 11. So it certainly could continue to move lower. But nonetheless, as the market has continued to push to new highs, it has been doing so with, on the surface, pretty low levels of volatility. And each time the market has pulled back a little bit, you've seen the VIX spike, but that spike hasn't been as high as previous rally highs. In other words, really for the course of the past 6 months, the VIX has just steadily made the series of lower tops as volatility has contracted quite a bit as it relates specifically to the VIX. Now, that's not to say there hasn't been some volatility in pockets of the market out there. We'll talk a little bit about that more in a minute. And pockets of individual stocks, whether it be some of the meme stocks that were out there or individual sectors. But when you look at that volatility being so low, Ian, and you look at some of the how that has impacted some of our indicators, it's been pretty interesting.
It certainly has. And Jay, as you mentioned, there's a variety of different ways we can track volatility, we can measure volatility in the market, right? One of those, like you said, the big one being the VIX there. And another way that we track, as you touched on here at Dorsey, right, is a study that we update every few months, typically on a kind of quarterly basis. And as we are looking to end the second quarter and enter the second half of the year, looking towards an update for our S&P 500 plus or minus 1% days. Which is essentially looking for extreme moves in the market, as we classify as a daily gain or loss of 1% or more for the S&P 500. And in looking at that data for last year, it's a very volatile year from this volatility reading, with 111 days that the S&P 500 took gain or loss exceeding 1% in 2020. Carry that forward to 2021, and we've seen that volatility back off, similar to the VIX reading moving lower. We saw 18 plus or minus 1% days in the first quarter of this year, drop that number down to 11 plus or minus 1% days, at least at the time of this recording on Monday. Still a couple more days left to go in the quarter, so we'll see how that pans out. But right now we're looking at 29 plus or minus 1% days so far this year, which is below the average historically of about 33 days in the first half of a year dating back to 1987, that we see an extreme day for the S&P 500. So seeing that kind of volatility back off, but as you touched on, maybe, and for those of you out there actually managing the money, hasn't necessarily felt like that at all times. We've seen a lot of movement, whether it be from a sector perspective or from a size and style perspective, each of which we'll dive into here more in just a minute. We've seen a lot of stuff moving around underneath the hood of the broader index. And one kind of indicator that we look towards for general kind of market participation movement is the bullish percent for the NYSE, the BP NYSE, the ticker there on the platform, which in looking at it from its actual value perspective, just the straight reading of that indicator, which measures the percentage of stocks in the NYSE that are trading on a current point and figure buy signal. So generally, the higher the better, like to see more stocks in a buy signal than not. We've seen that value hasn't changed all that much so far this year. It's only changed around 18%, fluctuated from 60 to 78% so far over the first 6 months of the year. But in looking at the chart, it has actually changed columns on its chart 9 times so far this year, with the most recently reversing down into a column of O's, which we've only seen 4 other years dating back to 1997 that have seen that many column changes from the BP NYSE. And we're only halfway through the year at this point. So we'll definitely be a place to continue to monitor. But that does kind of speak towards while we've seen reduced volatility in the VIX, reduced kind of extreme market days, market continuing to hit those highs. And that has not come with a lack of movement underneath the hood, specifically with a lot of these sector movements we've seen, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, really this year, when you look back at least so far through the first 6 months, there has been this just big shift and really rotation from not only a stock and style level, but from a sector level as well. As for years, growth and growth-oriented sectors like technology have really been the best place in the market to be. And really, you know, technology has been one of few sectors that over the years that has been able to consistently outperform the market. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you look over the past just 4 years, technology has outperformed the S&P 500 every year for the past 4 years. And really, you go back 7 years even. It's for the past 7 years, every single year, the technology sector has outperformed the S&P 500. And while it has picked up here recently, this is the first year so far, and we're only halfway through it in the past 7, that that technology sector is not outperforming the S&P. So that'll be something interesting to watch. And it's just more indicative of what we've seen happen as we've seen some leadership from other areas that have really been laggard sectors for years, things like energy, you know, things like financials, things like the more value-oriented stuff, even real estate to some extent. But if you look at energy, has been the worst performing sector in 6 out of the past 7 years, and is now right now the best performing sector, up over 46% on the year through Friday the 25th. It's pulling back today quite a bit, and that's kind of been typical this year, where you've seen, you know, sectors take their turn pulling back and then moving forward. I think at the end of the day, when you look across the board, is all sectors are up or in positive territory so far this year. Some like energy more so than others, like say staples and utilities, but everything is so far producing positive returns. But throughout the year, and what you've seen in some of the we'll call it choppiness and things like the bullish percent, is you've seen some of those sectors pull back while others rally, and you haven't gotten this just daily occurrence of everything rising. Even on a day like today, as we're recording this, you've got about a 4% spread between the best and worst performing sector just today on Monday, the 28th, as we're filming this, with energy's down about 3%, technology's up about 1%. And so, you know, that has been a very typical type of movement that we've seen so far. And that's certainly what's caused some of the volatility or at least back and forth action within things like the bullish percents. But it's also been, you know, very much a year marked by this rotation of leadership trends from going from growth back towards value. And we've seen over the course of the past week some evidence of technology, specifically some of that growth-oriented stuff kind of picking back up, which will be interesting. And that will be kind of, I think, one of the themes that we'll continue to watch for as we go through the second half of the year is, you know, can some of that technology stuff regain its leadership position of years past, or will it just kind of continue to be like it is this year, a market performer slash slightly underperforming sector of the S&P 500. And so that'll certainly be something to watch, as a lot of eyes today certainly are on inflation numbers, on interest rates, on what's going on with that. You know, one of the things as it relates to the market specifically that will continue to be interesting to watch is this growth versus value dynamic. And you know, when you look at some of that, and you see some pretty some interesting numbers there, just in terms of the volatility that some of those ETFs have seen.
Absolutely, and when looking at the volatility within some of the growth and value represented, specifically looking at value as being the Invesco S&P 500 Value portfolio, ticker RPV, and then using the growth representative, the Invesco S&P 500 Growth portfolio, ticker RPG, that's a relationship that we track in a variety of different ways, looking at those in relative strength relationships, which I've seen a fair amount of movement from a relative strength perspective between value and growth so far this year. But like you said, largely since kind of October, November time of last year, value really picked up the pace from what we've seen throughout most of the past several years. And interestingly enough, we go back to October. October was actually the month that saw the last 5% correction for the S&P 500. And so since we saw that correction, the value's really kind of stormed back, picked up the pace. And has been more of a leader, at least than it has in the past several years, like you said, up until the prior couple weeks here. But in looking at it from a volatility perspective, how much movement have we seen within RPV? How much movement have we seen within RPG? And how does that relate to the broader market? The answer is we've seen a lot more movement within the underlying ETFs than we have for the broader index. As we touched on, we've only seen 29 extreme days, 1% days, for the S&P 500 so far this year. RPV and RPG have actually already seen 51 plus or minus 1% days each. Those days have certainly not come at the same time, but both of those ETF representatives have seen 51 days of gains or losses exceeding 1% in value. When looking at it from a quarter perspective, we saw most of those days for RPG, which typically has around 40, looking at 45 plus or minus 1% days in the first half in a typical year. Again, we're looking at 51, but 33 of those days came in the first quarter. That number's dropped off significantly to only see 18 plus or minus 1% days for RPG in the second quarter. So we've seen growth pick up the pace a little bit more over the past week or the past couple weeks. Relative to value, that's come with a little bit reduction in volatility. As you said, will certainly be an interesting thing to monitor as we head through the second half of the year. But the value side is looking at typically only see around 37, 36 plus or minus 1% days for value in the first half of a given calendar year. And again, already at 51, we've seen a relatively equal split between the first and second quarter at 27 days in the first quarter, 24 days in the second quarter. So while we've seen the volatility or number of extreme days for growth reduce over the past 3 months, hasn't really been the same case for RPV, that value representative, as we're consistently been above the averages for monthly extreme moves for value over the course of the past few months here. So we'll definitely be in an interesting place to continue to monitor as we head through the year, as we see that growth value dynamic really kind of play itself out over the next 6 months.
Yeah, and you've seen that, you know, certainly value this year over the past, you know, 12 months has been the dominant factor, if you will, right now, especially in the large cap camp. And so, like you said, it'll certainly be interesting to watch that value growth dynamic play out. And you mentioned the 5% pullback. I think it's worth just remembering that we are, as we're moving through the summer months, we are still very much in what is historically known as the seasonally weak period in the market, that period being from the beginning of May through the end of October. And it doesn't necessarily mean market has to go down. Obviously, we're sitting here at market all-time highs, but it also is a time period that we have seen weaker overall returns in the market. So that'll be something we'll continue to watch for that. We'll also continue to watch it. You know, we keep hearing about this, you know, need for a pullback, market needs to pull back. And the reality is we haven't seen, you said 5% pullback since what, October? We haven't seen a 10% pullback now in over a year since really the sell-off back in March happened. On average, we get a 10% pullback in the market about once every year and a half or so. So that can last many years. It doesn't mean it has to happen every year, year and a half. But that's all to say that a 10% pullback is something that is very normal in the market. But there's also precedent set to see the market go for many, many years without a 10% pullback along the way. So as we move forward through the second half of this year, we'll continue to do so with the guide of our indicators, where we continue to see things like U.S. equities and commodities hold the top two spots within our Dolly rankings. And we continue to see the market at new all-time highs. And while there's been volatility underneath the surface in some individual areas and individual stocks, you know, by and large, we're operating in an environment where trends are generally positive. And one of the numbers that we've been talking about specifically as it relates to the S&P 500 is the fact that there's over 80%, it's about 86% as of right now, of the stocks in the S&P 500 are in positive trends today. That historically is a bullish sign as long as that number stays above 50%, or well above that number today. So with that said, we appreciate you joining us for our discussion here on at least some of the volatility perspective as we're approaching the end of the first half of 2021. We'll be back on with you next week to dig in a little bit further in terms of maybe potential opportunities that we see headed into the second half of the year, as well as looking back and digging at some of the market performance so far through the first half of this year. So as always, we appreciate you taking time to join us for these discussions. If there's anything we can do to help you or your business, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can reach us via phone at 804-320-8511, email dwa@dorseywright.com. So with that said, thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you next week.